This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
The mindset of an inspired generation. Power 98.7. Now we're talking.
It is, of course, Power Perspective. And coming up in this hour, on the last half hour of this hour, we're in conversation with Mickey Riedeling-Hayes and Pearly Hubert, who are directors for the Mother City documentary. And we are told that it offers audiences an opportunity to walk in the shoes of the oppressed and dispossessed, to understand the real struggle for people needing homes closer to work, education, and recreation, and not being banished to the outskirts of the urban areas. A very important part, that a very important documentary, of course, that they make, especially because of what we're seeing in the Mother City when it comes to people being moved. Those that, you know, are living in certain areas, they are being moved and forced to move away from those particular areas. But Mother City documentary director Mickey Riedeling-Hayes on the line with us. Mickey, good evening. Thanks so much for your time.
Great. Thanks for having me.
So let us then speak about this particular documentary. For you to actually say, this is definitely something that I would like to direct, how did it come about for you to say, I definitely want to direct something like this and be part of such a documentary? What was going through your mind when you heard about it?
Well, it's an independent film, so it's not like there was a brief and somebody asked for a director. It was a story. The work of the activists, of the Reclaim the City activists in Cape Town, had attracted my attention. Mm-hmm. I've been following specifically their campaign around the Tafelberg site. Just a little bit of context, the Tafelberg school, disused school, was earmarked for social housing in Sea Point in 2013, and it sort of caused great excitement because people thought finally there would be an opportunity for affordable housing in a well-located area in the inner city. And then in 2016, the Premier Helen Zille sold the property to a private developer, and this was, of course, outrageous and unlawful. Mm. And activists were very angry, and also a lot of Cape Townians are very angry because, you know, contrary to what people might think, people want an integrated city. I believe a lot of Cape Townians do want an integrated city. And so Pearly and I spoke about it a lot, and we followed their work and were very excited by the sort of riveting campaigns that they ran. And then in 2017, when they occupied, as a show of resistance, they occupied two disused, quite important buildings, the Helen Bowden Nurses Home in the waterfront, which is prime land, and the Woodstock Hospital, also very prime land in Woodstock. And when they occupied those buildings, you know, we were like, wow, this is very interesting what's happening here. And then the city cut the water off in the Helen Bowden home, and we became part of a group of supporters who took water to the occupation as a show of support and solidarity. And so, yeah, after a couple of months of following the campaign and supporting the campaign, we thought, you know what, we're gonna start documenting this, because this is interesting, this is riveting, interesting activism.
Mm. Pearly Hubert is with us on the line. Pearly, good evening. Thanks so much for your time.
Hi, good evening. No problem.
I mean, Mickey, you know, details how she got into this. What was it for you that drew you into saying, you know, this is definitely something that we need to turn into a documentary, people's livelihoods and people's lives?
I've been a journalist since 1989 in South Africa, and you know, politics in our country is very male and very stale. I'm very, very bored with men in politics. And then there was this, me and Mickey, we've been talking before Mother City about mainly about race, actually, and sort of, you know, then it was like 22 years in democracy. We were middle-aged, white, privileged Afrikaans woman, and living in Cape Town and living in this country, very kind of overwhelmed by this stale male politics. So we were having the conversation about where we are as people and as a country, when this very fresh new way of resistance was happening literally in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
So we were kind of ready for this new thing that was happening, and the power of land and money and politics and that collusion was so pitch perfectly undermined by what Reclaim the City was doing at the time that I think, yeah, it was very, as a journalist, it was a very, very exciting thing to start following and documenting.
Mm. I then have to ask you, Pearly, because you've brought in the politics, right? And I know I'm steering a bit away now from the documentary. What do you make of the GNU?
Can of worms that it's opened.
My grandmother had an expression, I don't know if it translates very well into English, but she used to say that's her choice between cock and strawnt.
Don't translate it.
So, listen, it's at least it's not just the ANC anymore. I mean, yeah. Anyway, go back to Mother City.
Let's go back to Mother City. Let's go back to Mother City. So, you know, you speak, and Mickey also spoke about, you know, it being a real life kind of documentary, right? Deeply human, and really sometimes I suppose could be also heartbreaking for those who will be able to watch it and those who are going to watch it, of course. And so, Mickey, I wonder, you know, in the time that you took to film this and to work with the people that you worked with, what were those faces like? Who are these people that you say we want to showcase the life and times of these people in Mother City?
So when we started filming, we followed the movement quite broadly, but obviously you start seeing people who are leading or at the forefront of some of the actions. And I think one person that we started following quite early in this process was Nkosi Kona Swartbo, who was a lead organizer with Reclaim the City and Ndifuna Akwazi. And he's also the voice in the film. Mm-hmm. His voice drives the narrative. But it's by no means his story. It's the story of a movement. It's the story of domestic workers, security workers, nurses, teachers, people who live or silently kind of service the city but don't have a place to stay in the city. There's also the legal team, Mandisa Shandu, John T. Cogger, research activists like Derek Rousseau, Nick Badlander. I mean, they were just, it's just a and the group, you know, people also change. Sheila Matikana, who's been a domestic worker activist since the 90s, you know, she's just a formidable force. So these are just some of the people who we see in the film. Fahmida Ling, sort of affectionately called the mayor of Woodstock. Karen Hendricks. Yeah, I mean, there's a host of people who emerge in the story, but I think the voice that sort of pulls us together is the voice of Nkosi Kona.
And Pearly, you know, as you worked on this, what would you, when you watch back, right, what you have put together with Mickey and everybody else that is part of this production, for those who are going to watch this, what do you want them to take out of? What would you like for them to understand about the people that have been featured in Mother City documentary and what you are actually wanting to achieve with this documentary?
I would love I would love people to watch this and see how unbearable it is to live in a country with so much inequality, and how we should do better towards poor people as a country, that our government has a duty of care towards people, and that duty of care is completely absent in politics. I mean, as a country and as a nation, we really should do better. We had no expectations prior to 1994 of doing anything morally better.
Mm.
It was an apartheid government who, there was no moral expectations. Since 1994, we as a country, we demand that we should do politics better and kinder. And that's one thing that I would love as a takeaway. And the other thing is that I don't think that this is unique to push working class and poor people further and further and further out of cities. I think this is a global problem. Land is finite. And with a commodification of housing and land, where property prices is increasing, that's a story that's happening globally. It happens in New York, it happens in London, it happens in Barcelona. And I think that, as this one person says, it's a ticking time bomb. And we have to address it. In Cape Town, it's very visual, and the property prices in Cape Town is much higher than elsewhere in the country. So it is a more kind of pressing, immediate problem. But this is a global story.
Mm. Michi, do you think there's an understanding, not just from politicians, about why people live where they live? Do you think there's an understanding? Not when I say not just from politicians, but I'm also saying, you know, even from neighbors, even from other community members within the various areas. Do people have an understanding as to why you've got the situation where people live where they live, whether it's closer to work or closer to schools for their children? Is there an understanding of such, or it's still just people are crowding our space type of mentality?
Are you referring to the occupations?
Yes.
So I think that there's a lot of misconception about the occupations. And, you know, there's this narrative that's put out, I think, by the city and by a lot of sort of mainstream media, that people are land grabbers and queue jumpers and they want stuff for free. And I think part of what Mother City is doing is to debunk that narrative, for us to stop kind of looking at this as this this homogenous kind of situation, but looking at the lives and all the things that led someone to that point of anger and desperation and bravery to occupy a disused building. You know, if you go into the life of somebody like Elizabeth, who's a domestic worker, who's been fighting since 1994 for a place to stay in Sea Point where she lives, and you get a sense of her life and her dignity and her pride, and you know that she's really doing this as an act of defiance, and she cares deeply about her country and about her city. And so Mother City takes you into that situation, and I think it breaks down those perceptions that the public have about the occupation.
And when we speak then, you know, you speak about, you know, we've now just highlighted, you know, some of the challenges or the assumptions that people have about where people are living and why they are living where they are living. But what are some of the challenges that activists may have in the film, right, that they face and speak to, and they fight for affordable housing? Pearly?
I think there's a lot of challenges. I think it must be very tough to live in a place where the authorities are continuously calling you queue jumpers and illegal occupiers. The threat, the legal threat of being evicted is very, very real. City officials have been on the record to say that they will have to be evicted. I think it must be very tough to live and to not know whether you have any security tomorrow, and to have children and elderly parents with you in an occupation. In Ahmed Kasrada House, the old Helen Bowden nursing home, there's not even water and electricity. So it cannot possibly be harder, actually. I do think that that something creative is possible, that if the city officials, there were numerous city officials in Cape Town who spend hours and weeks with occupiers in the building to try and come up with a solution to help think of a way of how to do service delivery there without evicting people. And that was stopped. That was that happened under. I don't know if you've seen the documentary yet, and I hope you will come and see it tomorrow night if you can, if you're in Joburg. But that hasn't happened yet, because at the moment I think the authorities have one cookie cutter, and that is the evictions and going through settling these issues through the court of law. I think it must be incredibly tough.
And, you know, this is a conversation that has been ongoing for years now, Mickey. You know, where we are speaking about people being evicted, you know, people being told that they can't occupy a specific space. I mean, even in Johannesburg, you know, we are seeing abandoned buildings being taken over because there isn't space or there aren't homes being made readily available for people. Will this documentary, and I hope it, as I mean, from my part, I hope it will it open the eyes of people in Parliament, or, you know, the authorities, the leaders, those that need to understand and see this documentary for what it is, the fight just to live and to survive?
I think so. I mean, I really hope so, that we do want all sectors of society, ordinary everyday citizens and government, to see the film and to just look at the way we live and the way we share what our country has to offer from a different perspective. Shift the gaze with which we reflect on our society, and then think of, okay, what do we need to do to change this? And so, yes, it is a film. I think it's a very powerful narrative. We took a very cinematic approach. It is an activist film, but it's also a film, and we use the language of cinema. You know, beautiful visuals and music and a strong narrative arc to be able to attract the audience. But we do also want this to move the audience into action, and so we're working very closely with Ndifuna Akwasi and Reclaim the City, and people working in land and housing, architects, urban planners, to design an impact campaign. And we do hope that this will shift something in the way government looks at how it's treating its citizens.
And, you know, I do know that it premiered, Mother City premiered at the Sheffield Dog Festival, or Fest in the UK, this month, actually, in June, before, of course, it comes to South Africa or African shores. Well, how was it received in the UK? What was that like for you, Pearly?
It was absolutely nerve-wracking. I had no idea what an international audience, you know, how they would respond, because you kind of, after so many years of working on this, it's like I lost my mojo to know whether this story will resonate with anybody. And then it was amazing. We showed it in Sheffield, and the very brilliant Charles Yuan, who did the music composition, he was accidentally in London with a theatre production, so he came up, and we were sitting there chewing our nails with this audience from around the world. And people loved it, and they were deeply moved by it. I think the thing that resonated most with that international audience was how the country felt the same as it did during apartheid, and how black people and working class black people were still at the receiving end. They were still describing themselves as the have-nots, and how the dream of equality when it comes to land was not realized. So I heard that a lot. I heard that, you know, how a lot of things have changed in your country, people would say. But how come that very crucial thing of land, how have you not moved on that? That was very interesting for me. I mean, it wasn't a surprise. We know that. We know that as there's a moment in Mother City where Mandisa says, you know, we must always start with the land. And that is the elephant in the room, is land. And who has land? And a house is a basic human right. It's not a luxury. It's not a privilege. It's a right.
And for you, Mickey, how was it for you in the UK?
Sorry, did you say in Sheffield?
Yes.
Yeah. Sheffield was amazing. I mean, yeah, like Kelly says, I was very stressed about how is the story going to land in this big international festival where there's films from all over the world, and is anybody going to come? And so when I went the day before to say, like, has anybody bought tickets? And they were like, you were sold out for the first two shows.
Sure.
What? You know, and it was incredible the way people responded to the film with such warmth and compassion. And we got a standing ovation at our second screening, which just blew me away. And I think that is very much also to do with Uncle Sikona's presence there. People are so inspired by his leadership, by his ability to lead with compassion and power at the same time, and that comes through in the film. And the fact that he was there, I think people really, really responded to his presence. And I think, I mean, something I just also want to say is that there's a lot of humor in the film. The activists, yes, they are they are disruptors, but they're also very funny. You know, they're people, and Pearlie and I laugh quite a lot together, and at each other, and at the situations we find ourselves in. And I think a lot of that humor comes through in the film. And what was wonderful was to see that the South African humor also resonated with the international audience. So, yeah, I was very happy by the way we were welcomed in Sheffield, and also in Cape Town, you know, so far, and tonight in Johannesburg as well. So we feel very warm about it.
No, that really does. I'm glad that, you know, the welcome and people are understanding the message that you are also sending with your documentary. A question, though, why was it taken overseas before it was shown here?
It was not planned to be screened overseas first. Mm-hmm. So we entered the Durban International Film Festival and Encounters in Sheffield. Those are the first, from when the film was finished and eligible, those were the first three kind of major hits for us as festivals to enter. And we were very excited when we heard that we were selected for Encounters. And then we heard sort of 2 weeks later that we were in competition at Sheffield, which is a huge honor. But Sheffield just happens to be a week before Encounters. And so it was just by virtue of the sort of timeline of festivals that we screened at Sheffield first. We couldn't say no to Sheffield because next year the film will be to it will be too late for us to be eligible for Sheffield.
Okay. I get that. I get it. So you speak, of course, about the premiere at Encounters South African International Documentary Festival. When is that happening? Where can people go watch Mother City?
So we have had we've had four screenings in Cape Town, and we have another Best of the Fest coming up on Sunday at the Labia Cinema at 2:30, and then we have at 1:30, and then we have a 3 o'clock screening at the beautiful Bertha Movie House at the Isivana Centre in Khayelitsha, also in Cape Town, on Sunday at 3 o'clock. And then tomorrow night, we have a screening at the Nelson Mandela Foundation. It's by invitation only, but there are still seats available. So if anybody is interested, they can contact us via our website, www.mothercitydocumentary.com, for an invite to the event tomorrow night. And then we have another screening coming up at The Zone as well, which is also an additional screening in Johannesburg and Rosebank. I don't have the times on my fingertips. Birdie, do you know?
No, I'm sorry. How could you look?
Okay. It's also an additional, it's an added screening because the other screenings are sold out. They gave us an additional screening and I actually just don't have the time in my head right now. But you can check on the Encounters website.
All right, on the Encounters South African International Documentary Festival's website. And I then wonder, Mickey and Pearly, as Pearly looks for those times, Mickey, I'll start with you. What do you think you learned about yourself being part of this documentary?
Oh, my goodness, that's a tough question for 11 o'clock at night.
please take a very long time to answer that. So that I can think.
Really?
So, you know what? I mean, I think working with Faith over so many years, and Nkosi Khona, who's also sometimes called Faith, he's a very inspirational young man, and I've worked out that I'm older than what his mum would have been if she was still alive.
Sure.
So, but I've learned so much from him in terms of leadership and resilience and just how to be a good citizen, you know. So I've learned that you can that you always need to keep learning and opening yourself to new possibilities and new experiences and looking at life from a different angle all the time. And I think as a filmmaker, you have to do that. As a documentary filmmaker, you have to be so open to so many different situations. But I think it's been an incredible privilege to work with these activists and lawyers who are just young and committed and interesting and striving to build a positive world, a positive South Africa. And I want to be a part of that. So I think that's been an incredible learning curve for me.
Mickey?
hold on. I think I found Saturday, the 29th of June, Mother City, 3 o'clock, Best of the Best. That must be in Johannesburg.
Yes, at the Zone.
Yeah, it's at the Zone. What I have learned is that I'm very impatient for new politics in our country. I think we deserve it as South Africans. We deserve morality to come back to politics. I would love I'm almost 60. I would love to grow old in a more equal place. Really, I am hopeful of this.
Sure. Ladies, just that website once again.
www.mothercitydocumentary.com.
Mothercitydocumentary.com. Thank you so much for your time, and all the best with the rest of the screenings that you will be having in Cape Town and also here in Johannesburg. And thanks for sharing about what Mother City Documentary is all about.
Thank you so much for your interview. It was great chatting to you.
Thank you, Mickey Riedlinghuis and Pearly Hubert. They are the directors of the Mother City documentary, and they really just look at the impact of spatial planning.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.